And God is saying to you today, if you're serious about running to win, your attitude has better be, God, I'm going to stay as far from the precipice.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message broadcast last week, we heard Pastor Brian Grant use the illustration of the wilderness journey of the people brought out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God to show what it means to get serious in our walk with Jesus, running the race set before us in such a way as to win. We heard how running to win takes self-discipline. This evening, Pastor Grant will bring before us two more essentials that must characterize running such a race. Here again is Pastor Grant with the second part of Running to Win.
Young man, are you trifling with God? Young lady, are you trifling with God? God blesses us, but sometimes we take God for granted, and although he keeps on blessing and blessing, we take the attitude, he better keep on blessing and blessing. Well, God is not your, what is the man? You know the man, the rich people, they have a Santa Claus or the rich man. You have a man that comes to greet the people at the door. What is that man called? A butler. Went to somebody's house and it's my friend, close friend. I was so surprised. The butler met me at the door. Butler took me in, put me to sit in the library. And then when my friend came, he sat at the desk over there and I sat at a chair over here. Listen, I don't know why I came up with that story. It is just an amazing experience. God ain't our butler. And if we mess up, you know, so does this sound harsh? I want us to realize that God is actually giving us an example, because you're here this morning and say, but we're under the age of what? Grace. Oh, we're not under grace. I can do as I want to. And God said, you better think again. Yes, you're under grace. You're under grace because the only reason you are saved is because of grace. Because it wasn't because you were good you were saved. It's because of grace. But just because of grace don't mean... And so he says, so what is God saying? Well, let's pick up. Verse number 6. You're with me at verse number 6? Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. So he's going through, bang. He says, yes, you're under grace, but you better not do this. And let us not commit sexual immorality, nor let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted him and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain. Got anything you could complain about? You know, sometimes we have things we could complain about. But if we realize that God is graciously working in our lives, I may as well jump ahead of myself and take you to verse number 12. Because sometimes, verse number 13, when you want to complain, just remember, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, will with the temptation or the testing make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Even the drama you are going through in your life, God is at work. God knows what's going on. And listen, God is going to help you to bear it. So you don't need to complain. Hallelujah. You don't need to complain. Amen. You don't need to complain. Hallelujah. I'm a preacher who can preach this one experientially. You don't need to complain. And I still have my issues, by the way. You don't need to complain, because we have an almighty God God of all comfort. He says, now let all these things happen to them that, for example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. God is using these stories and he's helping us, and he's saying to us, brothers and sisters, let's hold fast to Jesus. Let's not be complainers, but let's be committed to living a self-disciplined life. Amen. So let's, before I move on, don't worry, I won't be as long on the other parts in case you're worried. Oh, he has 3 points and he's still on point one. Don't worry. I'm pacing myself. I think I am. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Everybody has Deuteronomy. If you got it, say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And here's what it says. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Have you ever paid attention to that verse? It is 11 days' journey. And in case you don't know, where is Kadesh Barnea? Those of you who just went to Israel were right by Kadesh Barnea, because Kadesh Barnea is in the area near the Dead Sea. The trip to the Promised Land could have taken how long? 11 days. Did you know that? The trip to the Promised Land could have taken how long? How long did it take? It could have taken 11 days. But it took 40 years because of their disobedience. My brother and sister, what we don't realize is when we refuse to do things God's way, we will end up wasting our lives. Young man, you're floating all over the place. Young woman, you're floating all over the place. You think you have a better idea. Today God is telling you, if you don't do it his way, you'll get to Kadesh Barnea 40 years' time. I'm just making that up as an illustration. Some people never, ever experience. Well, I spoke just a week or two ago on the fact that God has a grand adventure for each of us. And my friend, it's clear in Scripture he does. The problem is many of us never experience God's grand adventure because we're taking things into our own hands. We're choosing our way. Sometimes we get there, but by the time we arrive at the destination, we're on our last breath. 11 days took 40 years. Oh, may God work in our hearts. They lost time, but they lost much more, didn't they? How many people made it to the Promised Land? Do you remember that story? The Bible doesn't tell us how many did, but what it tells us, that of all the people who were 20 years and older, only 2 made it. Am I right about that? Of all the people over 20, the experts, the scholars tell us that it is estimated that over 2 million people died in the desert. The Bible here in 1 Corinthians, do you notice how what the record says? It says in verse number 5, the rest of them, their bodies were scattered all over the wilderness. If we're serious about running to win, we must practice self-discipline. Are you willing to change courses today? Are you willing to say to God, God, so far I've been doing it my way. I've been having my foot on the line. You know, I'm right at the edge. So sometimes I can step over. Sometimes I can't stay. Is there a game like that? We over the line, in the line, oh, ooh. God said, you better not step over the line. I told you the story before and I'll tell you again. So this man, I better not tell you the story because I may run out of time. So let's move on. All right, so somebody said, I didn't intend to tell you this story, but I'll tell you since you're asking. So this king wanted to hire a driver for his coach. And so he got his person who works for him, who was responsible, steward. He did tryouts. And so what they did, they took the horse and the buggy right up to a hill. And the steward said to all those applicants, he said, I want you to show me how close you can come to the precipice without falling over the hill. That was the test. How close can you come to the precipice without falling over the hill? Well, the first guy came, and he was so skilled, he was able to bring the chariot to 18 inches from the precipice. And he was, wow, the steward was impressed. Wow, 18 inches, that is impressive. But the next guy, he came. You know what he was able to do? He was able to bring the chariot 6 inches from the precipice without falling over. The third guy came and he brought the thing 3 feet from the precipice. The man said, don't you see this other man did? What, 18 inches and the other man did 6 inches? What happened? The man said, I am so afraid of falling over the precipice. I am going to stay as far from the precipice as I can. The steward said, you are hired. So what is the moral of the story? The problem is, some of us, come on now. You know I ain't lying. Am I talking truth? I want to see if I can come right half inch. And God is saying to you today, if you're serious about running to win, your attitude has better be, God, I'm going to stay as far from the precipice. That girl or that guy who has been tempting me, I'm going to stay as far from that person. Because God, by your power, I am going to trust not to fall into sin. I'm going to walk with Jesus every day. Amen. May that be our desire. Amen. If we're serious about running to win, we must practice self-discipline. But secondly, we must run with strenuous effort. Add that to your notes. We must run with strenuous effort. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 tells us this, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. This I fight, not as one who beats the air. You know, it doesn't take much effort to win if you're shadow boxing and just beating the air. I have won many boxing rounds by shadow boxing. But if you ask any of the 37 people Muhammad Ali knocked out, they'll tell you, you'd better do some strenuous workout before you step into the ring with Ali. Some Christians enjoy being spectators. They enjoy watching the rest of the church in action. But if you're running to win, we must join the action. Amen. And exert strenuous effort for God. I get the impression that some churches don't have a problem if the members send money and let the professionals take care of the ministry. A lot of churches now, they are very focused on letting the professionals do it. But I don't see that model in the scripture. Amen? God wants every Christian in the trenches. Amen? Everybody. Are you exerting strenuous effort? No, let me be clear. Strenuous effort doesn't mean it has to be physically strenuous. Amen? Praise God. There was a time I could help them minimally to do some of the work, physical work outside. I was never one big at doing stuff, but I could help. Now it's highly unlikely they're going to find me shoveling the snow or things like that. Amen? So God isn't expecting all of us to be walking around the whole neighborhood, canvassing the neighborhood. He doesn't expect us all to be working in the kitchen, because there are a lot of, you know, every army has some non-physical tasks to do. Amen? Critical non-physical tasks. And so some of us, our physical abilities are not there, but it doesn't mean we're not going to strenuously work, put in effort for the kingdom of God. But I just want to say, as I move along, if you're chilling on the Sunday, you know, some people have the mindset, well, there was a time I was working strenuously. God ain't asking you what you were doing. He's asking what you're doing now. It's all about now, not what you did. God isn't giving you credit for last year. Are you chilling on the sun deck now? Or are you strenuously putting in effort for God? Every Christian, the Bible says, if we are serious about running to win, we cannot be running like somebody who is beating the air. We must be putting in strenuous effort for God. My friend, if you're sitting on the bench, I pray that today God will challenge you. Not everybody in this auditorium is strenuously working for God. Not everybody listening to me who says they're a Christian are strenuously working for God. But today God is challenging you, and he's calling you and the rest of us to get involved. And if we're willing to say to him, God, I will do anything you want me to do. Lord, just show me what you want. I trust me, he's going to show you what he wants done. Well, I better hurry on to point number 3. If we're running to win, we must practice self-discipline. We must exert strenuous effort. But third and finally, we must run very purposefully. We must run very purposefully. Verse 26, it says, I run thus not with uncertainty. You see that? Not with uncertainty. The ESV says, I must not run aimlessly. If we're running to win, we must run purposefully. It must be all in. We must be all in for Jesus, no half-heartedness. You know, this may surprise some of you, but did you know when I was in high school, I was a runner? My wife may be surprised. I had the privilege of going to Kingston College, a boys' school, with some of the best athletes in Jamaica. We were so good. We also won several medals at the Penn Relays every single year. So here I was. It was the 100-yard sprint. And once I heard the starter's gun, I took off like lightning. I gave it everything I had. And when the race was finished, I discovered that I had come in second. Aren't you proud of me? Would you be as proud of me if you heard I had come in second from the last? I was shocked that despite all the effort I put in that race, I came in second to last. For I thought I was a very fast runner. I thought all them long legs would have helped me out, and I would have burst the tape ahead of every second to last. But I was crazy to think I'd do any better. For the other guys were very purposeful about track. They were committed. They were determined to win. They were focused. They had invested the time and energy. And because they were so purposeful, they smoked me. Are you purposeful in your Christian race? Are you determined to do your best for Jesus? You know, last night as I was mulling over what I wanted to share, the Lord just put this little thought in my heart. It's not about muscling up every day and trying to see, am I doing points 1, 2, and 3? It's all about Jesus. It's all about having Jesus at the center of my life. Because when Jesus is at the center of my life, I will have no problem practicing self-discipline. When Jesus is at the center of my life, I will have no problem exerting strenuous effort. When Jesus is at the center of my life, I will have no problem being purposeful, because it's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. The one who came and died on the cross for my sin. Thank God, the one who didn't stay in the tomb, but the Jesus who rose triumphantly from the grave, hallelujah, is about the Jesus who is coming back for me, hallelujah. It's all about Jesus. And this morning, this Jesus is challenging you, and he's challenging me to make a decision, a determination to run to win. Not to be disqualified, but to say, God, I'm not just going to make it's all about Jesus a phrase. Because one of the ways, you know, although you may claim it's all about Jesus in your life, if in your life you are not practicing self-discipline, you're not making strenuous effort, you're not running purposefully, don't claim it's all about Jesus. It's because it ain't. So today, Jesus is challenging you, and he's challenging me to make a rededication where I come to him and say, oh, Jesus, I have been claiming it's all about you, but today, I'm for real, for real.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.